I'm going to pause this lesson and address the questions here. First of all, you can't expect to understand God if you don't believe what he says. You claim that he left things out. You're telling God how to write his Bible? That's nonsense. You can't tell God how to write the Bible. God put in writing what he guarantees what he wrote. You know, just because you have trouble, you don't think other people have trouble? Why would you leave the Savior from the trouble to go to the source of the trouble if, you know, it's not coming from God, it's coming from Satan? He's the one I just posted up there. He's the God of this world. He's the one that tries to give people trouble now. It's a sin-cursed world you're living in. This isn't heaven. Believe the Bible. That's your starting point. If you haven't gotten to that point, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to understand anything. Do not attack. Oh, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm attacking. I'm trying to be definite that you need to believe what the Bible says. If the Bible doesn't talk about dinosaurs, which it may talk about, but if it doesn't, then you have to, you know, if you believe what God says, you have to figure out that maybe God did it some other way. Maybe God created everything 7,000 years ago with the dinosaur bones dead dinosaur bones as part of the creation, that they never actually lived, but they were created as if they lived with the carbon-14 and everything intact, like it would be thousands of years ago or whatever. You have to believe what the Bible says. You know what Peter said? He just witnessed the transfiguration, and he witnessed Moses from centuries before, and Elijah talking to God, to Jesus. And let me find the verse here. Anybody know where? Oh, here it is. He says, after, well, let me give a little bit of background here first. The verse before it, he says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard, that was at the transfiguration when Jesus walked the earth, when we were with him in the holy mount. And then he goes on and he says, you know what? We have also a more sure word. I witnessed it. I ear witnessed it, he says. And yet we have an even more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, until you understand. You need to believe the Bible. There's no way you can have faith in God without believing the Bible. You're going to be you're going to be playing into the devil's hand, put it that way, I guess. Faith, if you need faith to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you deny the Word of God, you're cutting yourself off from all the good God can do for you. There's a lot more than just this 80 years that's at stake here that we're talking about, 80 years on this earth. So I advise you, stick around, listen, and start studying the Bible yourself. If you've got a King James Bible, that is the Bible, the Word of God. The other books that have a Bible on, you know, have the word Bible on the cover, they have mistakes in them. They have errors, things left out, like you were talking about. The King James doesn't. If it's not in the King James, it's because God didn't want it to be as part of the revelation to us. He kept it. So, let's see, do you ever notice the difference between Christ and God? Do I notice the difference? Christ is God, but God is also the Holy Spirit, and God is also the Father. And there's a, it's been described as a triunity. That's not a scriptural word, though, but they're all one, and yet they're all three. And they're God. You can't, you know, just because you can't understand the nature of God doesn't mean he's not God and you're not smaller than God. We have to believe what he has told us about himself. And he describes himself as talking between the three parts of the Godhead. and as being united, being one God. So we know that both are true. You know, our minds may not be able to comprehend it, but we believe instead of trying to comprehend, because what God said has got to be greater than what I understand and more accurate than what I understand. Only the King James and New King James are truly usable. New King James has a lot of errors in it, too. It's not just a bringing up to date the wording of the King James. It's entering in errors from the second line of texts that came down to us. See, there's a line of text that came down to us from the apostles in the Byzantine area around Antioch, Syria, and in southern Turkey, eastern Turkey, I guess I should say, and that has been protected by God, using people to copy and copy and copy those manuscripts. And yet there's another line of manuscripts that have come down to us. There are two lines of manuscripts. The other line, Paul calls them the corrupted word of God. They've been corrupted. People have entered different words in there or taken words out, copied it without a whole verse in there in some places that they didn't agree with. That's not the word of God anymore. It's corrupted. It says here, Paul says that even in his time, before he laid down his pen, in the time of Acts 20, when he wrote this, he said, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." And so Paul's words are not corrupt, but there were those that took his words and corrupted them, wrote them down in a corrupted manner, and you find those coming out of Alexandria, Egypt. And Westcott and Hort retranslated those, and so did Alland and Nessels, and you know, it's that whole line of manuscripts from which almost every translation today comes from, including the New King James. If you have access to, there are one or two, I think Green, Jay Green has one, and a translation that comes from the accurate line of manuscripts, and I'm trying to think of the name of the other one. Young's literal translation comes from the right line of text, but they're one person translating it rather than 45 or 47 devoted devout believers with a vast knowledge of the languages at the time, back in the 1600s, when the King James was written. Was not written, was translated. Yes, but many, many things were removed from newer versions. Yeah, well, they're from that second line of text. That's the thing. They're from the corrupted word of God, not from the pure word of God. Look what, if you've got God's word, look what the Bible says about it. Let me find where it is here. Hold on. There it is. Every word of God is pure. So if you've got a translation that's not from that accurate, pure, preserved line of texts in Byzantine, in Turkey there, and well, it's called the Textus Receptus today. They've all those 5,200 manuscripts have been compiled into the what's called the Textus Receptus, and it's a Greek text, and it's very accurate. It's doesn't have the mistakes in it that corrupted line of text has in it. Well, it's a translation of what God said. Yeah, what God told people to write down. The words in the Bible are the inspired part, not the ideas, not the, you know, if you translate idea for idea, you're not translating the Word of God. God inspired the words. Every word of God is inspired. Well, the Masoretic is the Old Testament, and that's a good translation of the Old Testament. But we're talking about I'm talking about the New Testament. You see, when you come to, if every word of God was pure when he gave it, well, what about us now? And if you check the scriptures and look, study the scriptures to find out the truth of God, the word of God, the word of the Lord, it says here, endureth forever. So that means he's going to keep it in its pure state forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. If you don't follow who, you know, the Lord had several ways of saving people in the past. He saved Noah. Noah didn't get saved from the flood by believing that Christ died for his sins. There's nothing in the Bible about Noah even knowing there was going to be a Jesus, or that he was going to die for sins, Israel's sins, or the rest of the world's sins. So, we have to find out what is the way that God says he's saving people by today. And to do that, we have to find out who our apostle is. Well, as you go through, the 12 apostles are not just the 12 apostles, they're Israel's apostles. And the Lord picked them from Israel, and he sent them to Israel. But he did pick one other man and send him to the Gentiles. For I speak, this is Paul speaking in Romans, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. So if we want to find out what God says to us today, we find out through the apostle of the Gentiles. We find out that God made many revelations to Paul about us and about our salvation, about the body of Christ, about our doctrine. But the body of Christ is only mentioned by Paul in the Bible. You don't find Peter or James, any of the others, talking about the body of Christ. Christ didn't talk about it when he came to Israel, when he walked the earth. He came as a minister of the circumcision, not as a minister to the rest of us at that time. When he came to the rest of us was when he revealed to Paul. Outcast, I haven't seen your Nick in here before. Have you come in by another Nick? What's com, which translation? What do you mean by that? Tell you what, pick one. What? I'm not sure what you're talking about there. Let me read some of these other posts you made here. No, he guides us. It's like guided evolution. No, he doesn't guide everybody. He only guides those that have believed his gospel, that Christ died for all their sins. All their sins are died for already, and have received that grace, the gift of God, the eternal life. It's a done deal. He already did it for you. He died your death that you are due because of the penalty of your sins. Let's see. Yes, I used the word evolution, but hey, we evolve in many ways. Every word of God was passed from father to son until it was finally written down, and God preserved his word from generation to generation forever. Amen. If you cannot trust the word you read today, then you cannot trust God. Right. He gave us a trustworthy Bible in the King James. Right. The King James is the only one I have found that does not make God a liar. That's right. All the rest of them contradict. All those from that corrupted line of text, they contradict themselves. There are errors of self-contradiction in them. They're not the pure word of God. Welcome, Holy Hospital. Let's see. Hold on there. Wait a second. Someone named Com. I don't know. Okay, then Com. We agree. Com. Is there a Com in here? Oh, I see who you're talking to. Okay. All right. Com. That's comfort. Comfort. C-O-M, 4-T, comfort, okay. Hold back. Always go to Acts 8:37 with other Bibles. Gone for no reason, just gone. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's part of the corrupted line of texts that most of the new You know, some people say all of them, but I identified two that aren't. But they're not usable for us because people have memorized in the King James. It was translated by a multitude of people. Well, not a multitude, but 45 or 47 highly devoted Christians that were very knowledgeable in the languages, probably more knowledgeable than anybody since them. And, you know, you can't just retranslate one word from the text. It's a whole, you have to take the whole thing together. There's no, let me put the verse up there. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't just grab a verse and say it means something. Everything has to fit in with the rest of the Scriptures. They are compiling books to make money and to alter the Word. That's right. Yeah, that's true. They do. It's what they do. All right. Let me just tell you, since we go by what was given to us, not given to Israel, it comes to us through Paul, and Paul's gospel of salvation is, I'm going to put it on the screen here for you, and then we're going to get back to the lesson. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, so it's the good news about how to be saved, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Are saved. Now that's different from Israel. Israel has to wait till Christ returns to bring their salvation. Their sins aren't blotted out till Christ returns, according to Acts 3, 19 and 20. But for us, believe this gospel, and he says, by which also you are saved. Keep in memory what Paul said. He makes it very clear that it's not what Peter preached. It's a different gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So it's a matter of what you're going to believe. If you believe what Paul said, you're saved. And you don't have to keep it in memory the rest of your life or you're not saved. It's not saying that. It's saying that to keep it in memory, when you're trying to get saved, keep in memory what Paul said, not what Peter said, not what Jesus told Israel only when he walked the earth. And we go on and find out what it is to be believed. Believe that, well, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I, Paul, also received. That's how Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, because he received this, that Christ died for his sins. He knew he was a dead man when he saw Jesus was actually alive, and not just the fraud that he believed he was. And he had just murdered Stephen. And it turns out he realized that Stephen was talking the words of the Holy Ghost at that time, since Jesus was alive and not a fraud. And he knew that he had committed the unforgivable sin. Couldn't be saved into Israel. And I'm sure he didn't understand why he was still alive, why Christ hadn't smote him dead for the unforgivable sin. But God saved him a different way. He died the death that was to go to Paul. He died that on Calvary. And nobody knew that Christ died for more than Israel. It was never told in the Scriptures that Christ died for more than Israel's sins until Paul was saved. And we come to Christ that way, by believing that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again for our justification. And if we believe that, the Bible says, by which also you are saved. It's an immediate thing. And when we at the moment we're saved, there's a transaction that goes on. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It doesn't say anything about water there. We're not baptized into water. By the Spirit we're baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Gladiator, and Heavenly Jerusalem. We're going to go back to the lesson we had started now. And if there are further questions, we can address those after the lesson, okay? thank you for your cooperation and participation, too. I'm glad we were able to go through that outcast. And if you have other questions, you can post them in text. If they're heavy and need full explanation, we'll try and get through this lesson and then answer them after the lesson. I do have to close early today. Can't go the whole 3 hours, but we're a half hour into it, and we'll try and finish this lesson and any questions before we close. So, going back, let me just start it here. And this is about Ephesians chapter 1. It's the middle part, the second part of the three lessons on Ephesians 1. And then we're going through the Ephesians series following that in days to come.